coming Wednesday, April 14th, and Thursday, April 15th, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour Bible study from 4 in the afternoon Central Time on April 14th through 4 in the afternoon Central on April 15th. Issues Etc. 24, Wednesday, April 14th, and Thursday, April 15th. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
During that tenure, he has stood as an impartial guardian of the law. He's worn the judicial robe with honor and humility.
Justice Stevens was the court's most liberal member. His retirement will, I think, be the occasion of some concern on the left about getting someone as liberal as Justice Stevens.
My service to the people of Michigan have been one of the greatest honors of my life. But it's time to begin a new and exciting chapter.
It really woke me up to the power of prayer, what happened with the twins, because it really... He really does work.
Southern Illinois truck drivers, love issues, etc.
Well, it's always nice to hear from our listeners. We do so in so many ways: email, the Issues Etc. Facebook fan page, and especially the Issues Etc. comment line. It's not really that fancy. It sounds like it's some fancy piece of equipment. It's those who have visited the LPR studio are shown, last but not least, the Issues Etc. comment line, sitting there in the corner, quietly doing its job. It's just an answering machine, but it's all there for you. Whenever you call 618-223-8384 and leave a comment, criticism, show suggestion, question about a past show, suggestion for a future show, random thoughts, whatever it may be, the Issues Etc. comment line is there to record it, and then we like to play it and respond live on the air. It's Tuesday afternoon, April the 13th. That's what we'll do here for the first few minutes of Issues Etc. Respond to your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line. Pastor George Borghardt will join us shortly after that. We'll talk about the goodness of God, especially when the world isn't good and we aren't good and the circumstances of life aren't that good. Does God remain good? Dr. Carl Fikencher will join us in the second hour of this Tuesday afternoon's program. We can't stop studying the Easter hymns. There are just too many good ones, and so we'll do that again. The Easter hymn, Awake My Heart with Gladness, See What This Day Has Done. Dr. Carl Fikencher will be our guest of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in the second hour of the program. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, Talk Back at issuesetc.org is our in-studio email address, or you can Twitter us at issuesetc. In just, 25 hours from now, we're going to start the Issues Etc. 24 hours of continuous live broadcast of Issues Etc. We begin with a question about Issues Etc. 24.
Yes, I'm calling about the Issues 24 broadcast that you're doing on Wednesday and Thursday of this week, and I was just curious what sparked the idea for this type of broadcast over a full 24 hours. If you can respond, I'm looking forward to the cause and the reasoning behind doing it this way. Looking forward to the Wednesday and Thursday broadcast as well. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
You know, I don't recall what exactly sparked the idea of doing Issues Etc. 24. It's been in Jeff's head for quite some time. I think he finally got the courage to break the idea to Craig and to me about 6 months ago. But you'd have to ask Jeff, what was the genesis of Issues Etc. 24? Besides to keep me up for 24 straight hours plus, and Craig too, no sleep. I guess including yourself too, but what was the idea there?
Well, we've done, you know, in-depth Bible studies at our previous employer where we'd cover books of the Bible for 2 hours at a time, right? We've done that before. So we just thought, why don't we just put it together during the course of a 24-hour live broadcast? And why do we do it? Because we can.
Yeah, because we can. That's a very good reason.
We never had this kind of flexibility when we were at our former place of employment. And so we're going to try it. And like I told Craig, we might be into hour eight. And it's like, who's the idiot that came up with this idea? I'll probably be the first one to say that. Yeah, tell people what it's about. I mean, a lot of people still probably aren't aware what Issues Etc. 24 is.
Well, starting 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon Central Time, we're going to begin 24 hours of continuous live broadcast of Issues Etc. You can listen to it at issuesetc.org. We're going to do 2-hour blocks of a book of the Bible. That is one book of the Bible for 2 hours, 12 books in 24 hours. It's going to run continuously. I've had people ask me, have you pre-recorded some of this? Boy, I wish we could have, but we haven't. It's going to be all live, all continuous live broadcast of these books of the Bible. We're going to have some of the very best guests alongside to do these interviews on the books of the Bible. And we're going to go into real depth, as you can, in 2 hours of live broadcast. We'll be hearing from our listeners as well. You can call and email anytime during this 24 hours. And I'm looking forward to it, but I must say with some trepidation, I'm not worried about staying awake through the hours of darkness. I'm a night owl. I can probably make it until the dawn. I'm very concerned about what happens to me mentally after the sun comes up on Thursday morning, just whether or not my mental capacity can survive that. But Craig showed up today with all sorts of provisions, I should say, for us. And by the way, anybody who wants to come by the LPR studio anytime during those 24 hours, and believe me, about 3-4 in the morning on Wednesday, tomorrow night, we might be kind of lonely and sick of one another. You might have to show up and break up a fight or two. I mean, that happens when we're just together for a couple hours a day. So anybody who wants to come by and visit and say hello to us and watch the live broadcast during those 24 hours, you got 24 hours to do it. Bring the kids in their PJs. We don't really mind. Show up. If you want to bring us something to eat, we'll be happy to take whatever you bring, any kind of offerings there. I do have to ask you before we go on, Jeff, what does your wife think about this idea? I'll tell you what mine does after
she,
you tell
she
me.
She thinks it's a great idea. She's, you know, but she's what, very creative.
Okay, that's as a fellow producer. Okay, which she is. She thinks it's a great idea. I think it's a great idea, too. What does she think of it as a wife?
Well, she hasn't complained yet. She hasn't complained yet. Now, the Schwartz children will be coming in to sing a couple of Easter hymns.
Of course, she does everything already.
That's right.
It's not
exactly.
Like your absence from the house. Right. I mean, every night he's going from here to receive some sort of super fan award at Edwardsville basketball, or he's going off to coach basketball game. He's never home anyway. So it's not like his absence from the home over those 24 hours are going to make a big impact on the Schwartz family. My wife, I'm a little more integral into the fabric of the Wilkin family. So my wife, while she understands, just understands. That's all the more. I told her, look, if you miss me, you can come by and visit me anytime during those 24 hours, which she may, in fact, do.
She might come and hold your hand.
She's only been
here in the studio.
I think she's only been here one time, maybe one or two times in the last 2 years. So she might come and comfort me. Craig's got no one except Ma and Frankie to come by. I'm sure we'll see them.
I think Frankie's going to make a stop by. In fact, he told me today when we were leaving the gym this morning, he said, hey, I'm going to come by. And if you guys need somebody to go get a meal or to help read some names, to do any type of pledge stuff, he's off tomorrow and Thursday, so he'll be here.
He's our consigliere during the 24 hours.
Yeah, I did make a trip to the store today. I got plenty of caffeine for us. And on the way back, stopped by the post office. There's this box that was at our P.O. box, so they brought it out for me. I thought it was the computer stuff that you were going to order, and I let it sit up here, and I thought I better open it up just to see what it is. Well, I opened it up, and it's a hodgepodge of – there's some caffeinated pops in there. There's some type of remote control helicopter. There's remote control for kids. There's that Office Space pack. So somebody sent us some great stuff. Thank you very much. The caffeinated pops and the caffeinated stuff. There's some beef jerky in there, teriyaki jerky that gives you some energy.
That's not going to make it until the 24th.
No, but whoever did that, but thank you very much. We certainly appreciate it. And it'll go to good use during the Issues Etc. 24.
If you guys do the remote control helicopter, I don't care if you do it out there, because that's your business. What happens on that side of the glass is your business. What happens on this side of the glass is my business. Just keep it away from the glass.
Yeah,
that's all.
Yeah, I would say, what if it keeps tapping the glass like a woodpecker or something or other? By the way, our address is 1600 Golfview Drive, Suite 230 here in Collinsville, Illinois, because I think most places we put our P.O. box. And a lot of people have been asking about the lineup. It's still a work in progress.
Well, no, it has been established in its basic form for about a week now, which is amazing for radio that far in advance. But of course, we've had a few people back out, and then we have to replace. And you know, in the course of 24 hours, in the course of 2 hours of live radio every day, something always goes wrong. You, the listeners, don't know about it, usually. But something always goes wrong in the course of 2 hours of live radio. I can only imagine all the things that can go wrong in the course of 24 hours, including, I mean, a guest could be called unexpectedly away. So we not only have to have guests, we have to have backup guests and then second string backup guests and all those kind of things to make sure that we get through 24 hours. And I don't have to vamp at all. I don't have to vamp at all. I just want to ask questions.
Now, just to whet their appetites, here's what's set so far. And these are all central times. We begin 4 to 6 with Dr. Arthur Just on the Gospel of Luke. 6 to 8, Dr. Peter Scare on Mark. Ephesians from 8 to 10 Central with Dr. Thomas Winger. 10 to midnight on Wednesday, still open.
10 to midnight on Wednesday.
Still open. That's going to be a tough one.
You know, that's a primo spot, though. I mean, that's better than midnight to 2.
Well, you pretty much eliminate all the East Coast people.
All right.
That's 11 to 1.
We got okay? West Coasters.
We got, we're working on that. All right. Midnight to 2 in the morning, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller on Job. That'll be a great way to start midnight. After midnight with Eric Clapton and Brian Wolfmiller.
I got to grab that one.
Yeah, 2 to 4 in the morning, Dr. Greg Lockwood on 1 Corinthians. The Gospel of John from 4 to 6 with Dr. Bill Weinrich. He's over in Latvia. Another fellow Aussie from 6 to 8 in the morning on Thursday, Dr. John Kleinig on Leviticus. 8 to 10 in the morning on Thursday, Psalms with Dr. Tim Seleska of Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. 10 a.m. to noon on Thursday, Central Time, Dr. Andrew Steinman on Proverbs. Noon to 2 on Thursday, still open. I'm not too worried about that one.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about noon to 2.
2 to 4, we wrap it up with who else? Bill Swerla on the Book of Romans.
I'm not going to say we saved the best for last. We're saving Bill for last, which speaks volumes in and of itself. I notice he gets a rather cushy time slot there. I mean, it's very cushy from 2 to 4. Wow. All right, when we come back, more from the Issues Etc. comment line. Stay tuned.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of an Easter and Ascension sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Ascension Day, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Easter and Ascension sermons.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Issues Etc. 24 begins in 24 hours and 42 minutes. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org and click Listen On Demand.
Issues Etc. regular guests Paul Meyer, Ron Rhodes, and Dick Fisher are coming to St. Louis. It's the St. Louis Conference on Biblical Discernment, April the 22nd through the 24th at Grace Baptist Church in St. Charles. This national conference is sponsored by Personal Freedom Outreach. For more information on the St. Louis Conference on Biblical Discernment, April the 22nd through the 24th, visit pfo.org or call 314-921-9800. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Going through the Issues Etc. comment line comments. A couple other things we need to mention before we move on to that to the next comments about the issues, et cetera, 24. One of the big questions we've had from our listeners is it going to be available on demand? Of course it's going to be available on demand because we love our on-demand listeners. We realize not everybody can listen during those 24 hours. We hope that you'll catch us at some time during those 24 hours live at issuesetc.org. But we'll be putting it on demand as quickly afterward as we can, since that's my job around here, among the other things that I do. It won't get done immediately, and it can't be done in a rolling podcast publication, simply because Jeff doesn't like me multitasking. He likes me paying attention to the show during the show, and believe me, I would be distracted trying to podcast, publish podcasts, and do the show at the same time. So afterwards, I would say probably Thursday night, after I've had a little bit of sleep and reacquainted myself with my family, I will be happy to see to it that all 24 hours make it onto the on-demand page for our podcast listeners or on-demand listeners, because we do love you so. Here's a question about blessings at the communion rail.
Yes, I was hoping that you could comment on the following situation. I'm a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and I've noticed on frequent occasions when I attend the Lord's Supper, there are small children in pre-compliments and people that do not receive the Lord's Supper that are present at the altar rail. And I've noticed that the Lutheran minister spends an inordinate amount of time giving these people blessings by laying on their hands and making long-winded prayers, and as if to say that he prefers to do that rather than administer the body and blood of the Lord, which is what the Lord's Supper, partaking of the Lord's Supper, is all about to begin with. It's almost as if the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is engaging in a form of altar call where people can go forward for blessings. And if that's the case, why don't we have special services reserved for nothing but that? I've noticed that some of my friends who are also in Lutheran Church Missouri Synods, they mentioned that their churches behave similarly with respect to the Lord's Supper distribution. But perhaps you would comment on the appropriateness of the minister spending an inordinate amount of time giving blessings to people who are not even eligible to receive the body and blood of Christ. Thank you very much.
All right, it's a good question. And look, time is always a factor. It's just the way we are. Time is a factor. We're living in time. And so everyone's tolerance for how long something lasts is going to vary. I'm one of those kind of people that likes on a Sunday morning would greatly prefer that the prayers be short and sweet and to the point. We don't need a lot of painting during these prayers, and we don't need a rehearsal again of the sermon or of the Bible readings. Prayer is prayer. Let's do what we're supposed to do. Not terse, not overly brief, but to the point. I mean, God knows what we want, and we don't want to give the impression that we can butter him up with flowery speech or all sorts of verbosity. Now, everyone's tolerance is going to be different here. Let's talk about the whole purpose of bringing those who are not yet eligible to receive Christ's body and blood to the communion rail for a blessing. I think it is a very good practice, especially with regard to children. First of all, because we have something to say to them too. Even though they are not yet receiving the body and blood of Christ in the sacrament, they do receive the same forgiveness of sins by means of their baptism. And that is a great opportunity to put them in mind of their baptism, put the parents in mind of their baptism too. So the practice of the church where I serve as assistant pastor is to bless the children, even the unborn ones, by the way, that are there at the rail. And we encourage the children at the rail. There was on Easter Sunday, I think, at one table of the Lord's Supper, if I'm not mistaken, a dozen babies, little children. We've got a lot of little children in our congregation, thanks be to God. How do we do this? As we commune the parents, my practice is to, after I say, this is the body of Christ given for you, or this is the blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, to then say to the children, and the same forgiveness is yours by the water and word of holy baptism. Short, sweet, to the point, and it tells them exactly what they need to hear. That's what we have to say to them there at the communion rail. Could it be said without them approaching? Of course it could. But I think we teach by doing, and teaching them that the Lord's Supper is something for the whole family of God, even for those who do not yet participate, and that the same forgiveness of sins received in the Lord's Supper is also theirs in the sacrament of baptism. But if someone goes on with kind of flowery, overly long blessings and prayers, there's a time for that elsewhere, in the service or outside the service. I don't think it's a Lutheran Lutheran altar call. That would be theologically an entirely different thing, where we'll be calling people down to somehow make a commitment or do their act of decision for Christ. That is not what's happening there. I think the practice of having non-communicants, catechumens, children at the altar rail is a very good practice, as long, of course, as we don't turn it into the main thing rather than the Lord's Supper into the main thing there, that we connect their presence there with the Lord's Supper. Now, what's the danger of rushing through the Lord's Supper? And I've seen this done too. I've seen pastors who can say the words of institution faster than they can recite their phone number. It's amazing. And they do. Good pastors, well-meaning pastors, who rush through the words of institution and every prayer surrounding the Lord's Supper so fast, you get a distinct impression that it doesn't really matter much, that it's just a matter of kind of getting through it. God forbid. Okay, if there's a place we can slow down, it is at the words of institution. And as for the practice of the Lord's Supper, I think we need to think about the sensibilities of people today and find ways to distribute the Lord's Supper that are not overly taxing on people's short patience. But we don't want to cater to the short patience of people. We simply want to understand it and find ways that do not rush us through. The danger of rushing through is to, again, we teach by practicing, we teach by doing. What does it say if we rush? It's not important. We rush through things that aren't important. We rush through conversations that we're not interested in. We rush through phone conversations that we think are wastes of our time. We rush enough. The Lord's Supper is a place where we can stop and slow down a bit without taxing our short patience, and perhaps learn to be a little more patient with the things of God. Time for one more comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
This is Herman calling to comment on an interview with Dr. Jennifer Rollback-Morse on the subject of the recession reducing the divorce rate. She had some very interesting embedded observations in her remarks, one of which regarded the liberal world view of this, represented by a publication called the Washington Post, that she was saying that the editorialists there were lamenting the impact of the recession and that heterosexual couples were postponing and reducing divorce. And they decried this as apparently a terrible thing. Well, we might recall that not all that long ago in recent history, there was an effort made in Washington, D.C. to legalize gay marriage, and I would pretty much be assured that the editorial position of the Washington Post would be celebrating it. So we have a curious position here from the liberal worldview. It celebrates homosexual marriage and wants to celebrate heterosexual divorce. We might be able to say, what's the comment on that? Well, can you say Sodom and Gomorrah? Thank you.
Well, there's no doubt about it, and thank you for the comment, that the legal and cultural affirmation of homosexuality in all of its forms has opened a can of worms, most of which have not yet emerged from the can, especially legally. No one knows. We are in legal, uncharted territory. I'm no lawyer, but even I can see that we are in uncharted territory with regard to the law when it comes to same-sex marriage. We don't know what it means. Will we have a similar divorce rate? Perhaps so. How do you divide property? What if there's a further redefinition of marriage, which I think legally is inevitable if we redefine marriage to be something other than a man and a woman? We can redefine it to be anything other than a man and a woman. That's the little mantra I've been uttering for about 4 or 5 years now. And so what follows next and what cans of worms will then be opened after that, legally and culturally? So the consequences here, the law of unintended consequences, even though I completely disagree with those who advocate for same-sex marriage and the like, I think even the most progressive of them haven't stopped to consider the full consequences of what it will mean. Again, if you can redefine marriage to be something other than one man, one woman, then you can redefine marriage to be anything other than one man and one woman. And therein lies the danger. What would we normally do if we were trying to rewrite a fundamental institution of our society and our culture? What would we normally do if it weren't this hot-button issue of same-sex marriage? If there weren't political advocacy on both sides, what would we do? We'd proceed with extreme caution. I mean, think about it. How long it took to get health care reform, whether you like it or not. Everybody proceeding with extreme caution. We're talking about something far more fundamental to our society than health care reform when we talk about marriage. When we come back, the goodness of God. Pastor George Borghardt will be our guest. Issues Etc., a regular guest, Pastor Stephen Parks, on why your congregation should join the Issues Etc. 300.
If I could, I'd just like to challenge any Lutheran pastors that are listening to consider becoming one of the congregations that supports Issues Etc. My own congregation is a very small church, and I know it can be difficult to try and budget $1,000 a year to become one of the Issues Etc. 300. But if you're being blessed by this, as I know you are, and if your congregation is being blessed by this, as I know that it is, I submit to bring it to the congregation to prayerfully consider supporting the outreach of Issues Etc., not only here in the United States, but also around the world. Thank you so much for what you do.
Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget. Simply go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. 300.
Issues Etc. 24 begins in 24 hours and 28 minutes. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
I've always said pro-life crisis pregnancy centers are where the rubber meets the road. One in Middletown, Ohio is an example. Last week they did ultrasounds on three pregnant 14-year-old girls. In each case, an older man fathered the baby. One was an act of incest, a common occurrence. Two were in their second trimester of pregnancy. All were abortion-minded. One had literally been abandoned in an apartment and hadn't eaten in days. These pro-life centers operate on shoestring budgets, often with only volunteers who are spread thin. They need your help. Donations of money, diapers, baby clothes, and cribs. They need volunteers to do a myriad of jobs. Visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org, and I'll show you how to find a center in your neighborhood.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.